When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
All right. Yes. Yes! The Best Show is back on another Tuesday night. Another glorious bleeping Tuesday night, right? Tuesday bleeping night, man. It's time for a couple bleeping things. The bleeping Best Show. Well, now this bleeping OJ thing is on. Man. Truth be told, I'd be watching that tonight instead of doing this dumb show. But I'm here. But I want to tell you, my friends, about what? Well, get ready, my friends. Do you, the Best Show listener, are you aware of the magic and power of Mac Weldon? It's clothes for dudes. Got t-shirts, hoodies, socks, underwears. It's nice stuff, man. I got a whole bunch of it. I'm telling you, these socks are super cool. I'm going to wear them next week, Mike. Yeah. Smart design, premium fabric, simple shopping. Easy as pie to order from that site, MacWeldon.com. And it's Mac, M-A-C-K, Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N.com. Mac Weldon. And if you don't like the first pair of what you get, keep it and they'll refund you, no questions asked. How about that, man? Unbelievable. Stuff looks cool, it's comfortable, and naturally antimicrobial. Can't go wrong, Mac Weldon, man. Go over MacWeldon.com, MacWeldon.com, and get 20% off by using promo code BESTSHOW. That's 20% off by using promo code BESTSHOW. MacWeldon.com. And now, my friends, the Best Show is going to begin. And you are going to call 201-332-3484. And we're going to talk about the big questions. Best Show.
Jersey, back again.
the best show back again. Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm here with you for a classic episode of the show. No, it's not a repeat. It's all new. And I can prove that it's new by mentioning something that's in the news. The Iowa caucus was yesterday. And Mike... All right, that's enough. That. And here's more music. That's what that's going to be. The Iowa caucus, and then Mike's dude, Ted Cruz, cleaned up. Mike's been flyering Bayonne for him. But for the Iowa caucuses, Mike was doing that. That's the weird thing. The people in Bayonne can't vote in the Iowa caucus, Mike. Nobody told them. That was the funny part of it. During the snowstorm, Mike was putting flyers on windshields, trying to get out the vote for Ted Cruz in Iowa. Look, politically, do I agree with him? No. Do I think he looks cool? Yeah. I think he's a cool-looking dude. Terry T. Said he looks like Grandpa Munster. And he definitely has a Grandpa Munster vibe going on. Right? I'd vote for him if he started wearing a cape and, like, going... If he called himself Ted Grandpa Munster Cruz and started campaigning and doing, like, the Grandpa Munster impression. Hyman. He was like, I want y'all to vote for me. Hyman told me you should vote for me. Like, yeah, I'd vote for him if he did that. But you know what I'm going to vote for? Good music. I just cast my vote 3 times. That's right. Don't ever say I can't do a segue. Kelly Stoltz. The great Kelly Stoltz from his Circular Sounds album, which came out on the Sub Pop label. We heard When You Forget. Great song, great album. Great musician. Great. Everything's great when it comes to Kelly Stoltz. Ultimate Painting before that, from their album Green Lanes. It's on the Trouble in Mind label, the amazing Trouble in Mind label. I've Got the Sanctioned Blues is the name of that song. This album's really awesome. Came out last year. Can't go wrong with Ultimate Painting. Trouble in Mind is the label. TroubleInMindRex.com. And starting us off, something new. That might have been a world premiere. Simon Doom is the name of the artist. It's Simon from the band Karoma. Is that how you say him? Karoma? I can never say it right. K-U-R-O-M-A. I'm saying Karoma. Great band. I loved their album last year. He's got his side project. Simon Doom, the EP comes out, I believe, next week. Name of that song was Roseate. Everybody knows what that is, right? It's a bird. Learn, you dummies, learn. It's a bird. EP comes out next week. And the name of the AEP is... Negotiate with the Monkey. Good title. Simon Doom, world premiere. I should have put world premiere, best show premiere all over, like, ruin it so that no one can actually enjoy it. Self-defeating. That's not what we do here, though. others defeat us. We are not self-defeating. Here. No, the world defeats us. I'm not my own worst enemy. The world is my worst enemy. It's all of you that are my worst enemy. I am not my own worst enemy. Ah, oh, my friends, the phone number, 201-332-3484. We got all sorts of stuff we're going to do tonight. You know what I want to do? On an overall sense, I want to talk about the big questions, not these dumb little things, because I'll get people that go like, "Now you talk about this small stuff." I always love when I get an email from somebody, from some egghead who's, "You talk about television a little too much on the show." Well, sorry. What do you want me to do? I watch television too much. So I talk about it too much. What am I supposed to talk about? A new issue of High Fructose? We're running an art show here? No. No. Ironically, we're making high art here. High and low, man. High and low. Some heavy-duty art going down here. But it's the kind, I'm one of those ones you all laugh at. Outsider artist, but I don't know it. I'm not supposed to know that if I am. Right? Outsider artists aren't supposed to know that. But I know, man, years from now, these best shows are going to be pouring over them, studying the moves. Everything he said this. Listen, this is when he really started to fall apart. If you listen, the way you creeps analyze, the tapes of people losing their marbles. Bob Dylan or Emily, who? What? What's that one poet, Mike? Emily Dickinson. The way you creeps pour over that stuff. He'll be pouring over this. This is really when the wheels came off the thing. He never came back from this moment. Yeah, that's where we're heading, man. I know it. You know it. That's why you're here, you ghouls. And if I'm speaking to someone in the future, I will address this now to someone in the year, 2380. I'm assuming you guys will be listening to this 370 years from now. People of the future, I am in the past, but I am of your kind because we have the human bond between us. Although you guys are probably half robot at this point. I am the last generation that was all human before man melded with machine and became android. I think cyborgs are half man, half machine. Before the singularity took place and man and machine became one. I am from yesteryear. The way my yesteryear was Abbott and Costello, things like that. That was my yesteryear. But I am now your yesteryear. And I hope you're enjoying the future. End of transmission. That wasn't the most meaningful message to the future, but what are you going to do? You can get that Simon Doom over, I think he's got a thing set up at Bandcamp if you search Simon Doom. It's really good. New Coen Brothers movie comes out on Friday, Hail Caesar. So tonight, one of the things, we're going to talk about the big issues. Why the big themes. But we'll also rate these Coen Brothers movies, top to bottom. We'll figure the best and the worst ones out. I just watched Inside Llewyn Davis, the Criterion Blu-ray came out for it. Holy moly, is it good. I love that movie so much. Story of a guy who keeps failing while less talented people around him succeed. And the world seems pitted against him. And it's snowing through a fair amount of the movie. It's New York. New York. Takes place in New York. And he's surrounded by dolts and half-wits who go up the ladder while he slides down the ladder. So it was nice to see something that I really didn't have a lot of, like, because that's the good thing about art. It's like, yeah, I don't have anything in common with that, but it's nice to see just the what must mean something to others reflected on the screen. No, that's a great movie, Inside Llewyn Davis. So tonight, we will figure out the best and worst Coen Brothers movies. Amongst other things. Right? We'll figure other things out, too. I'll tell you one thing I want to figure out, how to get some new, new staff going out there. You know, one thing I want to figure out also, which we'll talk about there, I want the guys out there, Pat Byrne and Dudio and AP Mike, think about this. You're in jail. Well, how do you make it in jail? I want to see what these guys think of their fate if they were sent to jail. Let's just say we were all sent to jail for a 10-year stretch. I want you to tell me how you would navigate through jail. And I'll bring them in throughout the show to discuss this. But reflect on it now, guys. Reflect on it now. Phone number, 201-332-3484. If you've got big questions, you call me. We'll take on the big themes, come up with some big answers. By the time this show's over, they're all going to be answered. You're going to look back and go, yeah, I guess I answered them all. You know what I finally finished, Mike? I read Catch 22. I did it. Years of stopping and starting. I would start reading it, read 6 pages, be having a good time. Then start reading something dumb. Then turn around and suddenly that book, it's at the bottom of the pile again. I did that probably 3 times. Starting and stopping. But finally, now, I made it all the way through. Boy, am I getting dumber that I have to proudly proclaim that I read a book. I liked it a lot. It's great. I'm not going to jump right into another Joseph Heller book right now. Mike likes Something Happened, his follow-up. He did not write a lot of books. He wrote screenplays but he definitely took his time between novels. I need to, the one I will never read is the sequel to Catch 22. Catch 44. No, it's called Closing what? Closing Time something? I'm not reading that. You couldn't pay me to hang out with Yossarian again. God bless him. I ain't going back there again. Just like Lindsey Buckingham said, never going back again. Tried to read it one time. Tried to read it two times. Finished it when it snowed, but I'm never going back again. Because you know what it's like? It's like a bad dream. The whole book is like a frustrating dream. It's like people telling you why nothing can happen. Over and over. Why nothing can happen. You're just stuck on the treadmill. It's going nuts. That movie. Watch the movie after I read, and the movie, not so hot, man. And not a good movie. Mike Nichols, the king of volume, is what he did. Hey, what's a great Mike Nichols movie? Man, he made a bunch of okay ones. He made like 80 okay movies. No, okay, The Graduate. Yeah, of course The Graduate. But you know what? I'm telling you, for the bad movies The Graduate made other people make, The Graduate has crimes to answer for. Everybody got every half good-looking dude thinks they could, I'll be like Dustin Hoffman. I'll make my Graduate. You got David Schwimmer doing the pallbearer. You got, what's his face? Zach Braff making his movies. The Graduate spawned more trash, man, than... Yeah, so one great movie inspired all 50 bad movies. Yeah, Cull. Oh, look, they're all okay. This guy's, I'm not taking this anti-Mike Nichols stuff. First thing he mentions, Wolf. Yeah, you're right. Wolf. Jack Nicholson's a wolf running around. I ain't got no time to watch Jack Nicholson run around in a wolf costume. Right? American pervert in Hollywood. Right? Pervert werewolf. I think I'm turning into a wolf. If I was to turn into a wolf, it might go something like this. And then like if Jack Nicholson started doing stand-up, right? Now this guy Devon Tony, he's saying on Twitter, he's saying, no, Wolf is one of the best movies I've ever seen. He said, back off. Jack Nicholson putting on Wolf. You know what's great, Jack Nicholson? I watched the Monty Hellman movies. I watched The Shooting and Ride in the Whirlwind. Those were great movies. That's the Jack Nicholson I want. Yeah, Carnal Knowledge is very good. These are not great. None of them are out of my favorite movies. They're all very good. Very good. Now, for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Very good. The Graduate's great, but has spawned 100 crimes against humanity. Every goofball thinks they can do their sad movie.
I'm sad. It'll be a movie about me being sad. I'm going to show I'm sad. And I could be a movie star too.
Yeah. Not happening, man. Wolf. Okay, you know what he directed? Which puts him right in the pile. He directed a Gary Shandling, What Planet Are You From? One of the few movies I've walked out of. These are the movies I've walked out of. Beastmaster, What Planet Are You From? Schenectady, New York. Because I was sad that day. I went to see it, and I was sitting there, and I'm just like, I can't handle this right now. Couldn't handle the little coffin through me. I was like, I'm not in the mood for this today. Tiny cough. I was like, nope. Can't do it. Yeah. But Mike Nichols made a lot of very, and look, you don't think I understand consistency and making stuff all the time? I'm here every week doing this thing. The only reason I didn't come last week, I was sick as a dog. I was so sick last week. I couldn't move. A flu bug got me. I ran myself down and then the cold stepped in. Took me down for the count.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
So yeah, so I read Catch 22. It was great. I finally did it. It was nice to put it behind me though. You know, because I felt like it kept winning. It's like I'd start to read it, get it, I'd be enjoying it, then suddenly it's like, I think I might want to read this. I'll pick it back up. But I'm just going to take a quick detour and read this 33 and a third book. Tiny little book about, you know, making of, but whatever album was reading about, the Zyreka. So yeah, I went back, I knocked you out, and I yelled at the book after it was done. I threw it on the floor and went, you got knocked the bleep out. Yeah, screamed right in the book's face. You know another movie I saw? The Revenant. You see The Revenant, Mike? Did you like it? That stinks. It's terrible. It's a video game move. It's a movie. It's like, this is the math equation right now. Write this out, people. Jeremiah Johnson plus video games. Close parentheses. We'll put those in parentheses. Open parenthesis. Jeremiah Johnson plus first person shooter video game. What would that be? Red Dead Redemption? Times? There just has to be times, by people with, caramel in their mouth. Half that movie, I thought people were loading up on a bit of honey before they take to the set. One guy, I could not understand that guy. The one guy? Yeah.
I'm going to go look for pelts. You tell me I didn't come out here. Did you think I came to get paid for pelts?
That's the most I understood that he said in the whole movie.
No, I'm going with the pelts. You tell me to come on, go.
It was like Bit of Honey. It was like they were just like shoving as much, they're having a Bit of Honey eating contest, and then the director goes, action! And they're like, what? Action? We're having a Bit of Honey eating contest over here. He's like, we have a half hour of natural light. So they run,
And they said, I'm going with the pelts. I'm going to go with the...
I'm telling you, I could... And it's like this movie, look. Was Leonardo DiCaprio good in it? Yeah, he's great in it. But he also might as well have been on the on that Steve Austin, the Stone Cold Steve Austin show. The game show, the running up hills and crawling under, you know, whatever. Just like it was like an obstacle course. Yeah, it's like watching Leonardo DiCaprio do an obstacle course in a fur coat with bit of honey in his mouth. That's what the whole movie was like. I couldn't believe it. Oh, but don't worry, it was 2 hours and 40 minutes long. And then when I watched Jeremiah Johnson again. This movie's so great. It's from the early 70s. It's Robert Redford. John Milius wrote it. Out in the woods. There ain't nothing faked in that thing, man. There ain't no dude in a green thing with the ping pong balls all over it pretending to be a bear. But they got real bear scenes, man, in Jeremiah Johnson. There's a real bear in that thing.
Come on, Leonardo. You move it. You get your ass going.
Like on the Steve Austin Broken Skull Challenge, whatever it is.
Come on, Leonardo. You get going. All right, Tom Hardy. Let's get it. You get up the hill, Tom Hardy. All right, Leonardo, get inside that horse. You get in that horse. I'm going with the pelts. I want to get pelts. You go with the man with the pelts. Come on, Leonardo. You run. You got to get revenge. You're a revenant, man. You run. You chase him down. You're a revenant. I'm going with pelts. You take your pelts and you run. Going with Steve Austin.
The Revenant. It's going to win every award, too. Every one. Every single one. Leonardo DiCaprio couldn't have been better than in Wolf of Wall Street. It was one of the top comedic performances of the last decade. The physical comedy he did in that thing, when he took the Quaaludes. You remember Wolf of Wall Street, a.k.a. Quaaludes the movie? A.k.a. We had Quaaludes and you don't, the movie. If Martin Scorsese had like the inside track on like Quaaludes coming back, and if they hired him to do like, look, Marty, Quaaludes are coming back, original formula, Quaalude classic, they're coming back. We need you to get the world, we need you to get people wanting Quaaludes again. And he'd be like, I think I know what to do. I'm going to make this movie, Wolf of Wall Street, for 3 hours. People are going to come away with this saying, I sure wish I had a chance to try Quaaludes. That's what that would have been. That movie. If it, at the end of it, it said sponsored by Quaaludes. And why does everything have to like be, then the Revenant was, it really was like watching, it was like watching someone play a video game. I thought it was like in Best Buy, standing there watching some kid play a video, like the fighting. You can't even see what goes on with it. I don't know, man. You say what you want about Quentin Tarantino. Mike. Mike hates that dude's movies so much. At least that dude can film an action sequence. He doesn't need to film it like you're in it. He just shows it to you. You watch it. What's the whole thing you got to be inside of it? What am I wearing, a virtual reality helmet? An optical nerve or whatever it is? What is that thing called, Mike? Optimus Prime? What is it? Oculus Rift? Yeah. No. Not me, man. Not me. Not doing it. I don't know why, I don't know where that comes from, man. It's not my scene. These immersive movies now. Like Gladiator was the first one when you couldn't even see what the fights were. Just show it. I want to just watch the fight. Don't you want to be in the fight? No, I just want to watch it. So, yeah. Jeremiah Johnson, open parenthesis, Jeremiah Johnson, plus video game, first person, Red Dead Redemption, close parenthesis, times bit of honey, equals The Revenant. There's your math equation.
But Leonardo did so many things. Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't a real horse, first of all.
He went in a horse.
Yeah. A fake horse. Yeah. Mark Hamill went inside a Tauntaun in the Star Wars movie. You see anybody giving him an Oscar? Because he went inside a Tauntaun. And yeah, this Mike Nichols, he directed a movie, What Planet Are You From? Gary Shandling, my enemy, the guy who was, he was so nasty on Twitter. So nasty. So nasty on Twitter to me. Could you imagine that? I asked him a fair and square question about the Larry Sanders Show, and this bum is the egomaniacal bum, took my honest question, which was, I asked him, because I had watched all the episodes, do you think that Artie, the producer of the show, I wanted to know if he thought that, or if Artie thought that Larry was funny, or if he was just a soldier to defend Larry and protect the Larry Sanders Show. Because if you watch the show, Artie, played by Rip Torn, does not do a whole lot of laughing at Larry. He's not actually he'll clap and bang the rolled up script in his hand and say, "That was funny, my boy," and all that stuff. But he was not actually like laughing at him. Who's on the hotline, Mike?
Roxy.
All right, we'll take that in a second. Tell her to hold tight. So, man, what was I saying? Oh, I got distracted. Oh, so yeah, I asked him this question, and he writes back, "You're saying that you don't think I'm funny?" Like, he took it in some way that I was trying to say he wasn't funny.
"Why are you saying that I'm not funny?"
Gary Shandling, you bum. And he got so nasty with me that, you know what? You rubber-faced bum. I got no need for you. You did one... You tripped over one thing once, the Larry Sanders Show. You made one perfect thing, and that, look, that'll stand the test of time. You don't even deserve to be next to your own thing. not be nice to me. Watched every episode. Every episode. And that Bae, he thumbs down, you put him in the hate. He's going in the toilet, not even the hate pit. He's going on the new thing, Mike. Start a new list. And for people who don't know the show yet, when I talk about Mike, he's the associate producer of The Best Show. We have a team out there. We have Dudio, who's the dude who built the studio. We got Pat Byrne, who's the jack of all trades, the kid. And we got the AP Mike, he's the associate producer. He's holding it down and screening the calls and just, he's like the conductor. He's like the Mr. Holland of the show. He's conducting. He's like, it's like in the Minority Report when Tom Cruise was sliding those pieces all over the place. That's what Mike does with the calls. New list. We used to have the hate pit, Mike. Now is a new thing called Planet Toilet. Okay? Planet Toilet. There's one inhabitant right now, Gary Shandling, is on Planet Toilet. Best Show.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Graham in Toronto.
Graham in Toronto. How are you tonight, Graham?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. How many other Grahams do you know?
Not many. I've like met a few, but I don't really have any like other friends.
How many Graham. People in your life have like stuck golden Grahams in your face? And said, hey, it's you. Do you have those up there, Golden Grahams?
No. Well, we do, but they're, I don't think we have them anymore, actually.
You ran them out, huh?
Yeah.
You ran out the Golden Grahams. What can I do for you tonight, Graham?
I had a few for the three big questions for tonight.
Ah, what is a question for you? What is a big question that haunts you, young man?
I had more of, like, the answers to the three.
Let's hear it.
So for most offensive song, I had Anything by David Allan Coe.
Yeah, that's pretty good because his songs can be pretty offensive, yes.
And I had super offensive. Brown,
pretty. What else?
I had a Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Yeah, a fun song about a slave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's just all rock out to this song about a slave. Okay, those are great.
Yeah, I had one more for that, and I had Me So Horny.
Yeah, that covers a lot of bases. Two Live Crew, Me yeah. So Horny. Remember when, did you ever hear when Luther Campbell called The Best Show?
No.
During the golden days of Twitter, when Twitter was something, Twitter's dead basically now, by the way. Everybody should know that. It is now, the death rattle is resonating hard and steady through Twitter. No one new joins it. It's a giant echo chamber of minutia. Nobody's going to get anything good out of it anymore. It's dying. So, back in those days, I somehow ended up, one way or another, getting into it with Luther Campbell to where he called The Best Show. Remember that, Mike? Yeah. Luther Campbell called The Best Show. Yeah, those were fun days on The Best Show. And he was like putting himself as if, he put himself out there as if like he was like this free speech advocate. And it's like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure. He would have sold out free speech the drop of a hat, man. but he called the show. Somebody, if somebody could pull that clip, I would love that. Who's going to start? Let's get people to start pulling clips, right, Mike? The best of the last 15 years of the best show. Graham?
Yeah.
Solid way to start the show. Thanks for calling, bro. My friends, let me tell you about a few things. Are you aware that Valentine's Day is right around the corner? Are you aware of that, my friends? And sometimes, okay, all the time, it's hard for us guys to say what we feel. What if there was a gift that said it for you? I read that. Imagine a gift that was thoughtful, easy, that she'd love, and it sent your message perfectly all in one. It's Valentine's Day. You gotta make your mark. You gotta show what's what. You gotta do it right. That's why you got Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers makes Valentine's Day easy. They are the flower pros that you can trust to get the job done right. And right now, Pro Flowers is offering my listeners one dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for only $19.99. And if you order this week, they'll throw in free chocolates also. Or really go nuts and double the roses for $9.99 more. How do you do that? Well, it's simple, my friends. You go to proflowers.com and use my code TOMS. Quick, easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. The flowers themselves are beautiful and guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. So that's a no-brainer. Can't beat the price, can't beat the convenience. Pro Flowers takes care of all the details. You get all the glory. Proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right corner and type in Tom S. You got to do it right, guys. Valentine's Day, show the people in your life. And when I say guys, I mean ladies. Everybody should send flowers to everybody. Now, this is not the I Love Lucy. We're not in the '50s. But you know what? It's forever. Love is forever. So show that on Valentine's Day. Proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right corner. Type in Tom S. And get that deal. A dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for $19.99, or you can double up on the roses for $9.99 more. And if you order this week, they're throwing free chocolates. Proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Enter in my code TOMS. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. I've told you about Squarespace in the past. And I'm going to tell you about it again. It's 2016. This is the year you got to get your dream out there. The thing you're passionate about. Get it online. You can't go on without a website in this day and age. And it's so hard to do a website if you're on your own. You don't know code. I don't know code. What are you going to learn code? No. This is Squarespace.com. Let the experts help out. Squarespace makes it easy to build websites without breaking a sweat. Simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professionally designed regardless of your skill level with no coding required. Not only do they provide intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create that website, they've also got state-of-the-art technology powering that site, ensuring stability and security. Some of the most respected people and brands in the world use Squarespace. Can't beat it. 24/7 online customer support and a beautiful website. What are you waiting for? Start the trial with no credit card required and start building that website today When you decide to sign up, make sure you use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase to show your support for The Best Show. And we always thank Squarespace for their very thoughtful support of The Best Show. Squarespace, you should! And how about CISO? You know what CISO is, Mike? You don't know what CISO is. Well, you listen to this. CISO is a premium comedy streaming service. On demand, 24/7 streaming comedy, anytime, anywhere. It's curated for dudes like me who know the funny stuff. Original series. Like The UCB Show, a weekly variety sketch showcase from the original founders of the Upright Citizens Brigade. Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, and Ian Roberts. The Cyanide and Happiness Show. New animated series based on the webcomic. Sammy J and Randy in Ricketts Lane, which is a musical comedy about two mismatched housemates. From a comedic duo, Sammy J and Randy. Sammy J's a human, Randy's a purple puppet. Oh no, that does not sound good. I can think of one purple puppet that's flipping out right now. Hey, that's mine. I'm going to tell you some of the things on CISO. Alan Partridge, Steve Coogan's masterwork. Every single episode is on CISO. The entire Monty Python library remastered into HD for the first time. All the episodes, the Monty Python Flying Circus episodes, cleaned up in high def. Holy moly. Kids in the Hall cleaned up, high def, remastered for the first time. How about that? Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is on there. The Mighty Boosh is on there. Nathan Barley's on there. Holy guacamole, man. CISO. CISO.com. $3.99 is what it costs. Can you believe that? $3.99 a month? Go start as a guest. No credit card needed. Try it now. New stuff being added all the time. CISO.com. CISO.com. Check it out. Fun times, guys. Fun times. Best show. Big questions tonight. Big questions. We're answering them all. We got to start ranking these Coen Brothers movies, but let me go to the hotline. I'm being told that somebody's here. Best Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Oh, this is Roxy in Los Angeles.
Roxy in Los Angeles. Now, people might be saying, who's this? I don't know who Roxy in Los Angeles is. Well, I'm going to say you might know her as the one half of the Dirty Grandpa date that I paid for.
Mm-hmm.
How much did I pay?
$50.
$50 for tickets, two tickets to see Dirty. I said, because Roxy had called a month or so ago and said, I met a guy on a dating service. We went on a date. We both found out we were fans of The Best Show on the date, and she wasn't sure if there'd be a second date. So I said, I will pay for that second date if you see the movie Dirty Grandpa together. So I paid, and you saw it. How was Dirty Grandpa, Roxy?
Dirty Grandpa was awfully hilarious. I took some notes, if you don't mind me reading them.
Did you like when Dirty Grandpa went, bap? Right?
Ugh.
I saw that in the trailer. Meep.
Yeah.
So what are some notes? What are some of the Dirty Grandpa highlights?
Dirty Grandpa put Xanax in a beer during a beer pong tournament.
Okay.
And during that beer pong tournament, Zac Efron vapes crack. There's a lot of vaping in this movie.
Fair amount of vaping in the movie, okay.
Yeah. Dirty Grandpa hijacks a t-shirt cannon and admits to being a Green Beret on Special Forces immediately afterwards.
Okay. So he's shooting the t-shirt cannon at people?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my next note says, a couple walks out of the movie an hour into the movie.
Like in the movie that happens? Like you actually see
in real life.
Like two shadows get up at the bottom of the screen?
They were sitting a row in front of us. We sat in the very back row.
And they were just like, yeah, we can't handle any more of this.
We're done. We're done. We can't do this. Yeah, that's it, kind of. I mean, it was just really ridiculously stupid.
Now, Dirty Grandpa, I need to ask you this. In the trailers, it teases that Dirty Grandpa and Aubrey Plaza are going to hook up. Right?
Uh-huh.
Does that actually happen?
Spoiler alert, it does.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, can I tell you the end? Can I tell you? Or do you...
No. Okay. I'm going to say this. Let me just say this to the listeners. If you do not want Dirty Grandpa spoiled for you, turn the best show down for the next 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Real fast.
Ready? Okay. Yeah. Dirty Grandpa and Aubrey Plaza get married and have a baby, and Zac Efron is the godfather.
Oh, God. That's the ending of Dirty Grandpa?
Yes, that's the ending.
Oh, Dirty Grandpa. Okay, spoiler over. We will never speak of that again.
Okay. Great.
I still can't believe that Kylo Ren, which one is it? I can't believe he kills Dirty Grandpa. We can talk about that now, right? That's safe. That Star Wars movie's been out for a month and a half. Did you see the Star Wars movie, Roxy?
No, I've never seen Star Wars.
Never seen Star Wars. You're digging in on that, huh?
Huh?
You're digging in on that?
Yeah, sure.
That's fine. Yeah, who cares? I don't care. If you don't want to see it, don't see it.
I won't. Good.
Well, it's fair. It's totally... Look, it's crystal clear you're not seeing it because you've had 7 cracks at this now. And you are 0-7.
Yeah, I'm good.
So, Dirty Grandpa, was it a good date movie?
Yeah, it was funny. Like, we saw the movie at ArcLight in Hollywood. We parked on the rooftop, and we smoked a little weed before going in because we couldn't be this sober. Come on. And then we bought a lot of candy, and this was our last date, though. We are not going to see each other again. He just wants to be friends with me, so.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Now, do you feel like Dirty Grandpa had nothing to do with this, though? This was just...
No, Dirty Grandpa had nothing to do with it.
Okay, good.
He wasn't into me, so.
Well, it's his loss.
That's that. Ah, whatever.
So, Dirty Grandpa.
But I am going to post this photo of us. I'm going to send it right now to the Best Show Twitter.
Okay, please do. I retweet out the picture of whatever picture you're sending of Dirty Grandpa?
You can, most definitely. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, so the thing is, I'll say this. Anybody who finds themselves in the position where they can, where a Best Show... If it's two Best Show fans looking for love or just whatever, I will pay for the date, but I get to say what movie you see also. And then you have to take pictures from the thing too, so I get proof. And the other thing is, if you get married because of this, I get to say what goes on your wedding cake. I get to design what the what happens on the top of the wedding cake. And what did I say for this one, which is not happening, unfortunately?
How sad that there's not going to be a Tom Sharpling Dirty Grandpa mashup wedding cake. What a shame.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well.
Look, if you feel, if you meet somebody on somewhere and you're like, hey, we are thinking about going on, we're both Best Show fans, drop me a line. I'll pay for the
date. How about, are there any Best Show fans in L.A. without beards that want to go on a date with me?
Okay. Well, look.
All right.
There you go. Look, and people can also, look, you are out of the running with this now. You have, this is a one-time, I can't keep paying for you to, now I'm going to pay for you to go see.
No.
It's like, okay, here's the, what am I going to go get? Here's tickets to go, you could go see, like, what am I, what movie? I get, here's Zoolander 2. I'll go pay. Roxy wants to see Zoolander 2 now, so here's $50. Okay.
No.
Now she wants to go see 99 Homes.
I want to see the Trolls movie. I want to see Trolls.
Which movie?
There's a Trolls movie.
Troll?
Yeah.
What's the Troll movie?
I don't know. My friend Sean sent me a trailer for it. It's a new DreamWorks movie.
Okay.
And so it was just like animated trolls doing the whip and the nay-nay and dancing to other weird songs.
Yeah.
So, made me very uncomfortable.
So it's another classic. It's a, it's like Cinderella or the one where Mickey Mouse makes the broom come to life, whatever that one was called, Fantasia. Just,
right.
It'll stand the test of time. 100 years from now, people will be watching trolls do, whatever, doing a Reddit AMA in a animated movie. So, but people can drop me a line if they think, if they have the chance for a date, drop me a line. And also people, if you are in Los Angeles and you don't have a beard, and you're looking to date someone, you can ask Roxy out on a date, too.
Take me on a date. I'm so much fun.
Yeah, you'll find yourself on the roof of the Arclight parking lot.
Smoking weed.
Yeah.
Going to see the movie.
Yeah. But now you're going to do that. They're going to be waiting for you up there.
I can only hope that would be the best. Or not. Yeah. Or the worst.
Well.
Yeah.
All right, Roxy. I'm sorry it didn't work out.
It's okay.
Have...
But thanks, Tom. Thanks for paying for the date. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
we had a really good time, actually.
Good.
So it was totally worth it. Thanks.
I'm glad. And you made a friend now.
Right? No, we're not going to be friends.
Oh, come on.
No. Yeah,
all right.
I don't need any more new friends.
All right. Fine.
All right.
Well, thank you for the call.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I'll talk to you
later. Thank you, Tom.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, let's get this Coen Brothers thing going here. Let's get the list of movies. Let's see. No, I don't want to watch a Hail Caesar trailer. I just want to list the Coen Brothers movies. Here we go. I got to come up with a thing here. Is this all of them? Yeah, there they are. Okay. I got to write this out. Blood Simple. Raising Arizona. Miller's Crossing. Barton Fink. Hudsucker Proxy. Fargo, Lebowski, Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Man Who Wasn't There, Intolerable Cruelty, here we go, figuring out, Lady Killers, No Country for Old Men, burn after reading. Serious man. True grit. Inside Llewyn Davis. All right. So that's the list. So we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 movies. How about that? That's some kind of run. Does anybody here want to talk about this, Mike? Okay. Well, I'll take some calls. And everybody, that's the 16 movies. Think. Best show.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Zevin from Saskatchewan in Vancouver.
What's up, Zevin?
Just phone in. Well, first of all, as far as the topic, I want to push the Lady Killers for the Coen Brothers movies. I think Tom Hanks is pretty awesome in that one.
So you're saying that's the best?
No, I'm not saying it's the best, no, but I know that lots of people would say it's maybe the worst, but I think Tom Hanks is really good in it.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I agree.
I was phoning about, you were talking about The Revenant and The Hateful Eight a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working on a movie that a lot of the people worked on, both of those movies, so it's a film movie, but I had a person tell me a funny story about Quentin Tarantino. I wanted to share it.
Let's hear it.
All right, so they were in the snow and all this, and one of the transportation people, he was the transportation captain, so the guys that line up the trailers and all the vehicles, he got along well with Quentin, he said, and he told me they were standing in all this snow, and a guy was driving the camera car, the one that they run around with the camera arm on it, and the guy was cocky, and he goes, I'm going to drive this and turn it around on top of this hill and all that snow. And Quentin turned to the guy I spoke to. He said, is he really going to turn that around? He said, no, no way he's going to make it. So then Quentin walked over to him. He said, there's no bleeping way you're going to turn around up on that hill. There's no bleeping way I'll pay you any kind of money. And then the guy said, well, I'm going to do it. And he goes, he tries, he drives up the hill, and he gets stuck. And then Quentin went up to him. He said, I told you there's no bleeping way you're going to do that. There's no, you thought you could do it. I knew you couldn't do it. You owe me money. We bet on that. And then he turned around, walked away. And that guy, I think he probably, I don't know, he might have buried himself in the snow. I'm not sure, but I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a fun story.
Thanks.
No, that's a good story. You know what it is? It's a look into filmmaking.
Sure. I had much grittier stories about The Revenant, but I'm not going to share those.
Why not?
Well, I guess it kind of deflates. It's like you never want to meet that person that, you know, you look up to, or I don't want to go and, you know, tread on Leonardo DiCaprio's Oscar run. You know, it's just one of those things. I heard it was rocky and it was uncomfortable, and they all tried and they did what they did, but I heard it was pretty, it was tough.
I can actually verify that story because I watched the movie.
Yeah.
My phone. It's rocky and hard to make. Yeah. It's all that the movie is. Rocky and hard to make. They could have called it that. Rocky and hard to make. Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
I know this. I know who this is. I can tell already. A former resident of the fine America's 49th state, the 49th state.
Yeah, I'm Fred from Juneau.
The 50th state, sorry. Look, I knew it was one of two. I knew it was either the 49th or 50th state, Honolulu. What am I, studying history? No. So it's Fred from Honolulu who now lives in, where are you now?
Bedford Stuyvesant.
That's right. Fred Stuy, he calls himself now. The guy who Chris Gethard can now know is the one who made it, so there will be no best show Chris Gethard cruise. if the blame lay in front of one person, it gets put squarely at the feet.
I'll take that, man.
Of Fred, who made it seem like people would die. By his own hand at sea, or
nobody would get murdered.
By the hand, you know, he would clean up murders. Though
there's no body, no murder. That's
It's a real. You're a real Warner Wolf there, or whatever it is. Not Warner Wolf. What's the guy's name? Walter Wolf, right?
I don't know what that is.
From Pulp Fiction, the Harvey Keitel. Yeah. What was his name, Mike? Wolf. I know it had Wolf in it. I thought it was Warner Wolf, but that's the sportscaster. That's the guy who was always like, let's go to the videotape. Look out those choppers, man. Oh, those choppers. Could you imagine with those choppers? People go get those teeth replaced, right? God bless them. You got to get new teeth. I'm glad you're getting the proper dental care. But some people, they go get the biggest choppers they can, that the place will, it's like, just because your insurance will pay for that much of teeth doesn't mean you have to go get all those teeth.
Get that Steve Harvey teeth gone.
Hey. So what can I do for you, Fred?
Can I suggest something from Most Offensive Song?
Sure.
Have you ever seen The Suite on Top of the Pops when they did Wig Wham Bam?
Yeah, where these British guys are pretty much mocking Native Americans with their simplistic reduction of an entire culture.
Yeah. Amazing lyrics, too. It's very...
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to excuse those guys. It's offensive.
It's hard, man. Like half the hip-hop I grew up listening to, I can't listen to anymore. It's like all hate crimes.
The thing I can't stand is when people, like, when I'm listening to these hip-hop records and they just throw, like, fag around, like it's, like,
yeah.
Like, just like, I remember listening to one thing, and this guy, I forget who it was maybe D Nice, where he's like, ooh. He's like, he's saying, like, he said something to the effect where he's just like, you know, I'll make love, but I never ever rape. And it's like,
whoa.
It's like, okay. Not exactly. What do you want for a trophy?
What a gentleman.
Yeah. What a great guy. He'll never, ever rape. Like, yeah. Fred, you rule. You know that, right?
Aw, thank you, Tom.
I didn't say what you rule.
I'm out here at the 24-hour White Castle just hanging out near Madison Square Garden, so I don't really feel like
So why are you there? What are you doing?
I'm doing shady things.
You are. I tell you, you're bad news, Fred.
Yeah?
You're bad news. and you're so into it. That's the weird part.
It's really weird out here, man. Like, you got no, like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. I'll talk to you off air about this, but yeah.
Fred is the guy who's going to bring back old New York. Like, if Fred has his way.
It's like reverse gentrification. Like, just move in.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, exactly. Fred, yeah. Oh, Fred, I love you, buddy. I'll talk
love
to you soon.
Love you too, Tom.
All right, you have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Good old Fred, right? Mike hates him, but I love him. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Adam from Tampa.
Adam from where, Tampa?
From Tampa, yes, sir.
What's up, Adam?
I have a couple for the topic. First, I want to put in my vote for the Coen Brothers movie.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is A Serious Man.
Oh, that is, I gotta say, that movie has moved so far up the list for me. It is, God, it is, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's definitely, there's no way it's not top three.
It's not necessarily, like, my, it's not necessarily my favorite Coen Brothers movie, but it's definitely their best movie, I think.
It's so great.
It really is.
It is so, it is like the surface has not even been scratched on how great that movie is.
Yeah, there's so much going on in that movie that people just, you watch it once. I've seen it four or five times, and I still can't get my head around most of it.
I think like 20 years from now, that movie will vault so far up there, Liz, that will, people will realize what that movie is. It's so great. I love it.
And I, do you think maybe they'll start running out of people to give Oscars to and give one to Richard Kind for Best Supporting Actor just retroactively?
I would be into that, but the only thing is they might also have to give one to Fred Malamud.
That's true.
Right?
There's not a bad performance in the whole movie. No.
Cy Abelman.
Cy Abelman?
Yeah, so he's so good.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Everything about that movie is just perfect.
What's your least favorite, buddy?
Probably Burn After Reading.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see the Burn After. I might put, well, look, let's get it started here. I would put, I think just you have to put Intolerable Cruelty at the bottom of the list.
I don't disagree with that.
So let's just say that's a safe bet. And this isn't even saying it's terrible. It's just saying it's the least good of their movies. Right?
Yeah, it's like, at the same time, it's sub-Clooney and it's sub-Cohen.
Yeah, but it's watchable. It's watchable. It's like a TBS movie. It's like you watch
it
on TBS.
There's not a Coen Brothers movie that isn't watchable.
Exactly. Oh, I know. That's why we're doing this, bro. All right.
I'm into it.
Thanks for the call, bud. Good guy, good guy. Best show.
Hello, Mr. Radio. Your friendly station. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? We're getting echo.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you now?
Can you hear me? Who is this?
Oh, it's your singer.
Oh, I know who this is. Yes, of course. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
It's the mystery singer.
Yes, yes.
People are excited on Twitter. They're saying the singing lady is back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice to hear my fan.
So are you going to sing?
Hear the voices.
Are you going
to
sing
a
song?
Yes, I am. I am.
All right.
I am. If you're ready for it.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm sure you are.
Turn your computer speaker down, though.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
It's down.
All right.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Radio, you friendly station. So glad of your company, your morning music. My wife, she ran away. She left our home. And though you're here with me, I'm on my own. Hello, Mr. Radio, you friendly speaker. You played my request today, request to see her. Your voice comes riding home across the air. And you travel around the world, but still you're here. I heard on the news today, the world is no good. But if she returned today, mine could be so good. I look into the sky. Your waves rush by. The weatherman has lied, and it makes me cry. Hello, Mr. Radio. Do I disturb you? Sometimes I forget my place. I seem to know you. I miss you when you close. You'll never know. And when your programs go, I'm on my own. There you go.
All right.
There you go.
I love it. That was great.
Have fun, Tom. Bye.
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 Bye. Benji Hughes.
Feel the wind, it's blowing.
Oh, Benji Hughes. The song's Take You Home. The album is called Songs in the Key of Animals. It's a good album. That's such a great song. It's on Merge Records. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with Merge. Benji Hughes. All right, back to the phones. Phones are hot. Hot phones tonight. Hot phones. Best show.
What up, Big T?
All right, who's this?
Oh, hang on, Scooch, hang on. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, who is this?
Oh, come on, you know me.
I'm trying to place the voice. It sounds familiar.
Right.
But I don't... Come on, just tell me who this is.
It's Rad McKinney, you hose munch.
Wait, this is Rad McKinney?
Yes!
Wow. Okay. Now, that's impressive.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if everybody knows, but Rad McKinney was one of the biggest names in, I guess, what you would call extreme sports.
Was.
And was one of the early stars of skate, of like that kind of exciting kind of skateboarding back with like Tony Hawk and Tony Alva and like Jay Adams and other guys like that. And he was also a big snowboarder and a champion BMX rider.
It sounds like you're reading a eulogy. What's going on?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not doing a eulogy. I'm just trying to give people some context because, you know, I mean, like, no offense, Rad, but it's, you know, I guess it's not like you've been in the spotlight for quite a while here.
Are you nuts? I'm out there bigger and badder than ever. Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I really don't follow, like, all that X Games stuff, really.
Look, the X Games can go fart on a phone book for all I care, okay? I mean, that thing hasn't been edgy since they banned me for flagrantly yanking my crank during some freestyle vert in 2012.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and don't get me started on that farting asshole, Sean White.
Sean White?
Yes.
You don't like Sean White?
Hate. Are you kidding me? After he slathered pine tar on my snowboard, which caused me to wipe the F out in that first round of slope style, you got to be kidding me. No, there's vengeance afoot.
Wow. So yes. He actually did that to you?
Yeah, well, right?
Right, I don't know, right, okay.
Well, look, those guys are all jealous of me, the Rad Pack, and the entire Grinders catalog, all right?
Uh-huh.
They can't deal with it.
Okay, well, Rad, I gotta say, I barely understood any, like, probably like 25% of that last thing you said there.
Hey, what can I say? Life moves fast. Grind naked, right?
Oh, okay, I mean, You said something about the Rat Pack?
Get the wiener out of your ear. No, I said the Rad Pack, R-A-D.
Okay, I don't like that. You don't have to say stuff like that to me. I mean, but fair enough. Okay, the Rad, what is the Rad Pack?
I can't believe this. You have a pop culture-infused sub-citizens band radio show for toddlers, and you don't know what the Rad Pack is? Come on, get in the game.
Well, okay, look, can you just tell me what it is?
Okay, the Rad Pack is my posse. You know, like how Leonardo DiCaprio had the pea posse and how, I don't know, Dexy had his Midnight Runners?
Okay. That's what the Rad Pack is.
Yes.
Okay. And then you said something about grinders? Like a grinder cat, like a grinder's catalog?
Catalog, yes.
Okay. And what is that? Is that like grinders like hoagies? Like a sandwich shop?
I don't know if you heard that. Did you hear that?
I heard the phone.
Yeah, it was a phone drop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you drop, okay.
Yeah, it was like a mic drop, but with a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep up. I just don't know how the hell I ended up talking to the most ill-informed pant munch in the history of all radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you rat-a-dummy. I meant my catalog of Grindr's videos.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Wait, what? You've never seen Wedding Grinders?
No. What is Wedding Grinders?
Well, it was the first of my 15 highly successful home videos.
Okay.
Basically, how it goes is, in that one,
mm-hmm.
Me and the Rad Pack, we went around to 20 different weddings, and we rode our skateboards, our bikes, our unicycles, you name it, and we did all kinds of tricks. Real insane-ass hit, right?
Yeah.
And to us, it wasn't a successful grind unless we took out the wedding cake and at least 3 groomsmen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if 3 of them went to the hospital, it was even better.
Three groomsmen. you said you went to, like, you would just, like, ruin weddings, like 20 weddings?
No! Look, those cubicle zeros and their lard-ass relatives will get to say that one of the greatest legends in the history of all sport ground the F out of their weak nuptials.
Wait, so this is a video you actually put out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're big sellers.
Uh-huh.
My man, Sea Dog, he shot all the action. He's really good at catching that stuff.
Uh-huh. He's part of the Rad Pack?
He is, yeah. Yeah, okay. He's kind of my second in command.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what other videos you've done, Rad?
Oh, off the top of my head, subway grinders, taxi cab grinders, opera grinders, high school graduation grinders, what else? Department store grinders, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting grinders, Bikram yoga grinders, bickering yoga grinders, fashion show runway grinders, tax audit grinders, surgery grinders, that was a great one, crime scene grinders, funeral grinders, State of the Union grinders, what else, ground beef grinders, grinder grinders. I think the most popular one was supermarket grinders.
And
that was big because of the fight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The fight. Okay, I want to learn more about this fight in supermarket grinders.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you some of these other ones.
Okay.
What is opera grinders?
Well, you know, me and the Rad Pack, we sneak into that opera. You know, it's a packed house, a very fancy opera house. Grind our way down the aisles onto the stage. And you know what they say?
What?
It ain't over till the fat lady gets ground.
So it's you and your crew with your skateboards and BMX bikes.
Yeah.
And you're just disrupting the opera.
No, we're making it better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was surgery grinders?
Same kind of deal, only it takes place in an operating room. Why?
So someone...
Don't worry. We wash our hands before we do
it. That's not what I was worried about at all. I'm worried about the person on the operating table.
Oh, well, they're out of it. They, you know, they aren't even awake, so... What rip do they give if they get ground?
They might, well, I would say they might want to live. is part of, is, might be one of the rips that they would give.
Well, look, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that guy who was on that table is still alive. Or he lived for a while. It was a few years ago.
Sure.
Granted, we left the hospital, you know, pronto, because the cops were after us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hospital police were after us.
Okay. Yeah. What is Grinders?
Well, that one is a sandwich shop thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how they call subs grinders in some places?
Sure.
Yeah, we grind sandwiches.
Okay. And you are, like, riding over them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're pretty much liquefied by the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
And the bonus track on that DVD was soup grinders, because they turned into soup.
Oh, okay.
So
you said supermarket grinders had a fight in it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And what was the fight?
Well, check it out. See, I was grinding down one of the aisles, and I brushed by this old dude who was, you know, taking forever to, like, pull his canned hash down or whatever the heck he was eating. And I brushed
hash
by him,
yeah.
And I get to the end of the aisle, and I stop to see if Sea Dog got the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's laying there, the old dude.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's half awake and half out of it, you know. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. And he goes, "Help me up!" And I'll tell you what, Tom, I didn't like that tone one bit. So I'm just standing there.
Yeah, it sounds pretty disrespectful.
Isn't it? Yes!
Because where did he get off buying his canned hash?
Yes. It's like that old saying that I think is in the Bible, the old shall respect the young.
That is not in the Bible.
I think it is. I think it's in Leviticorn.
Okay. So, this old guy's laying there.
Yes, yeah.
And then you didn't like what he said to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and so I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he goes, "Help me up, you GD jackass MF." And I'll tell you what, it was on from there on.
Uh-huh. What was on?
The beatdown.
Wait. I'm not clear on this. So you basically knock down an old man, and then you fight him or beat him down?
Yeah, I beat him further down. I mean, he was already, what's the word, supine? That means laying down, right?
Hang on, hold on a second.
Horizontal. Uh-huh. I think it's supine, S-U-P-I-N-E.
I want to just go to... This thing's on YouTube. I just got to see a second of this.
Oh, geez. Strap yourself in.
Yeah, this is like, how are you doing to this guy? You're just, you're like spinning the wheels.
Yes.
In his face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving him a wheel job.
Oh.
You like how I do it faster and faster, and then I'll stop, and then I'll reverse the wheels?
Yeah.
It inflicts a different kind of mayhem on an old man's nose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But in, you know, he got some good shots in, though, didn't he? Look.
Well, I'm seeing it, but you're getting much more of the shots in than he is.
Oh, but he got me with the heel of his cane at one point, right in my Adam's apple. That hurt for days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you get in legal trouble for any of this?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I spent 5 months in the hut. Yeah. It's terrible. It really set my career back, and it made me persona all gratin with Tony Hawk and those other skate drones. And worse, it put me in the hole financially really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, but it's nothing compared to the hole I'm in now.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, that's actually why I'm calling you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See, last week, I attempted my greatest ever stunt.
Yeah? What was it?
Hang gliding off of Mount Newbridge.
Wait, what was that?
Hang gliding off of Mount Newbridge.
Wait, hang gliding off of Mount Newbridge?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like 18,000 feet high.
Yeah, you bet your whittle pickle it is.
Ew.
Yeah. But let me finish, okay? Don't interrupt me. You're worse than that character Brian Stack did on Conan.
Uh-huh. Oh, the interrupter. Yeah, I thought that was a great bit.
What? No, I was talking about the passive-aggressive Viking.
Remember that one?
He'd annoy his wife by coming home late all the time.
I don't remember the passive-aggressive Viking.
Yeah. They only did it once because Brian cursed.
Okay.
Yeah, he said, "You wet cherry."
Yeah, I had to bleep you on that.
Oh, you did? Yeah. He got in big trouble for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he they made him the office coffee boy for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean he gets the coffee.
I kind of don't want to know what it means, though.
Oh, well, he does get it, but he doesn't get it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's in him.
What?
Yeah. So look, anyway, this was the plan. Hang gliding off the peak, landing on my snow bike, doing unholy tricks, and then jumping from the snow bike onto my snowboard, and then boarding the rest of the way down.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like absolute insanity.
Well, yeah, that's what Governor Christie said, too, yeah. I don't know if you saw his emergency press conference when the blizzard hit New Jersey. Did
uh-huh.
you see that?
No, I didn't.
Well, he made a public plea that I not do my stunt.
Really?
Yeah, he did, yeah, yeah.
He asked you not to do it.
By name, yeah, but he found out I was doing it somehow, but there was nothing he could do.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Well, I had my legal team and my manager Rupert look into it.
Uh-huh.
And my stunt was protected under the Freedom of Spirited Antics Act that Teddy Roosevelt enacted in 1904 so he could eat a rhino.
Wait, there's an act that allows for what?
The Freedom of Spirited Antics.
Okay, wow.
That's how Evel Knievel got to do all that stuff.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was a great American.
Uh-huh, yeah. Great, I would say... He was a great man first.
Oh, what? He came from very humble, very honest beginnings.
Yeah. He was the pride of Butte, Montana.
He sure was, yeah.
They loved him there.
They did. The women especially loved him because he treated them so well.
And I would say the women loved him, but don't discount the shopkeep owners.
Oh, yes.
Who he looked after their businesses.
He did. He protected them.
With his own private security force.
Yes, and he was so kind that he actually offered to move someone safe one night.
he sure did. Yes, he was a great American. I think he repped America pretty well.
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, Rad, I gotta say, you're talking to me now.
Yes.
So, I guess the congratulations are in order because you must have pulled this thing off.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Wait, why do you sound so wishy-washy all of a sudden? You're calling, so you must have been at least successful.
Well.
To some degree.
Define
right?
successful.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. You did all of those things you said you were going to do.
Well, I did hang glide off the peak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what happened after you did that?
Got naked and jumped in the fall of air and getting on my snow bike. The rest of the mountain, and I lost control. I got stuck on a ledge.
Wait, you got to say that again.
I got naked and chugged a pony keg full of beer before getting on my snow bike to start biking down the rest of the mountain, and then I lost control and got stuck on a snow ledge.
Rad, can I ask why you decided to get naked and then chug a pony keg?
Yes, yeah.
Full of beer before getting on your snow bike? Can I ask why you did that?
Because it added another level of radness to my stunt. I'll tell you, being naked on a bike looks way better on video than not being naked. I mean, that's just common sense, Tom.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'll have to take your word for it on that. But what do you mean when you say you lost control and then got stuck on a ledge?
Tom, what about that statement is open to interpretation? I lost control of the GD bike and got stuck on the F mountain ledge, all right?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, I'm showing a remarkable restraint here verbally, don't you think?
Not really.
I'm censoring myself pretty hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. Well, if you seem proud of yourself. So you're naked on a mountain ledge.
Yes.
How on earth did you not freeze to death? And, like, how did you get off?
Hey, never ask a man how he gets off. That's a personal thing.
Oh.
I'm just busting your bees.
Yeah, okay. I hate that. Uh-huh.
Well, look. Anyway, Sea Dog lowered my clothes down to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was effing chafaced from the beer. So being cold wasn't a damn issue, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, how I got off the ledge is where it gets interesting.
Okay, good. Because I got it. Nothing you've said so far has been interesting at all.
Wait, what the? Did you say you... White fart?
I was joking. I'm joking. I was just saying the story's so nuts that it's all insane and all interesting.
All right, okay.
So how on earth did
I'll
you
let
get
you
off,
live.
How did you get off the ledge?
Well, luckily Sea Dog's cell phone worked up there. I have a HUD phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, man, those things are terrible, right? And I was getting negative bars up there.
Negative bars?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
You know how you get bars? You know, like the a reception?
Yeah, yeah. So you were getting, so you're making a joke about.
No, they actually do that. That's what.
So you actually get less than zero bars.
You do, yeah.
So they go the other way.
It goes the other way, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never.
So look, anyway, Sea Dog was able to dial 911.
Mm-hmm.
And Officer Harrops was able to contact the Mount Newbridge Area and Rescue Patrol.
Uh-huh.
But the weather was too bad for one of their copters to get up there to where we were. And I got to ask you, isn't it weird that they still call themselves that and the name has never changed?
That is really strange.
Yeah.
That they're still called the Aryan Rescue Patrol.
I don't get it.
Yeah. It's weird how some things don't go away.
Well, I think what happened was old man Kern was hedging his bets back at World War II. You know?
Yeah, I guess it must have been people playing both sides of it
during
the good old days of World War II.
Like Joe Kennedy, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The football player.
I didn't know, okay.
You don't remember him?
No.
He played for the New York Giants, and he had a Hitler mustache.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Remember him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, Jocelyn Joe Kennedy.
I don't remember him.
Yeah. He would, when he would get the ball,
yeah.
He would jostle it between his hands as he was running.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he was, like, bouncing off of each hand. He thought it made him look cool, but all the other players made fun of him.
Because it didn't look cool.
It didn't look cool at all, yeah.
That's, you know, I guess it was a different era for sport.
It certainly was, yeah.
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 So what happened next?
Oh, so they had to call the federal authorities, who then launched, you know, one of those Black Hawk helicopters?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are huge. Anyway, that came to get our sweet asses down.
Oh, my God. That's
yes.
Insane.
It is,
but, I mean,
yeah.
I guess at least they rescued you. Wait. They didn't actually rescue you?
Well, not technically.
Well, I'm having a hard time understanding what happened then.
Well, when the Black Hawk was hovering above me,
mm-hmm.
They let this rope down, like a rope ladder.
Yeah.
And a soldier came down for me, and so he starts to pull me up into the copter, and I get up there, and they give me these warm clothes and a blanket, and then we have to come fly back over the mountain to pick up Sea Dog.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm feeling really good. You know, I'm super buzzed from the brew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not perfect, okay? I had some Coke in my pants pocket, and so I did a rail, all right? It was just a pick-me-up,
I don't like the sound of this at all. So, yeah, what happened next?
Well, you know what are they called? The legs on the bottom of helicopters? Is it called landing gear? Is that what it is?
I think it would be landing gear, yeah.
Landing gear, yeah. So, well, I'm pretty amped at this point, so we start to hover over Sea Dog, right? And I lowered myself down onto the landing gear, and I start swinging on the bars.
Why?
Because they were there. I mean, if I see something I can grind, I grind. That's straight out of the Gettysburg Address.
If you can grind, you grind. That's not in the Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. He said it.
You're weirdly up on history.
He did. John Wilkes Booth said that.
John Wilkes Booth did not write the Gettysburg Address.
Sure he did. Who do you think wrote it?
Lincoln.
Who?
Wait, so you don't know who Lincoln is?
No.
Oh, my God. You are.
I know the Big Dipper song, Lincoln.
Hey,
one of the few songs that starts with a bass.
It starts with a bump, bump.
Dig-a-da-dung. It's almost like a Connell song.
Yeah. It's, Hey, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to pot this down for 1 second. I'm going to put you on hold for a second.
Are you doing pot too?
No, I'm not. But just, I got to sort one technical thing out, Rad.
Sure.
1 second.
Who's the guy in Dinosaur that looks like a wizard?
Rad?
It's not Rad. That's my name.
No, you're Rad.
Yes.
I just had to sort out a technical thing for a second, Rad. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking to everybody about Dinosaur and Big Dipper. And I'm trying to remember the band that the wizard from Dinosaur produced that was also a three-piece.
You want to figure out who the band that the wizard... Jay Maskus is the wizard?
That's his name!
Buffalo Tom?
That's their name! That's their name!
Yeah, I don't think he's an actual wizard, but...
Oh.
Yeah, I'm
he
not...
He might be.
Well, he... Okay. It's fair to say he might be, but I'm pretty sure he isn't.
Okay, well... Oh, well, let me get back to my story, okay?
Yeah, so you were hanging off the rails of the land, like the landing gear.
I was, yes.
Black Hawk helicopter.
I was, yes.
Okay. Yes.
So I'm swinging away, and one of the rescuers, he lowers himself down to subdue me because I'm just going crazy up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're wrestling, and I'm having a blast. He's not. And somehow his parachute deploys.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yeah. And the parachute gets caught in the copter blade.
Okay.
And the copter spins out.
Uh-huh.
And we land on the mountain.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody's hurt, but then all of a sudden you hear this giant rumble behind us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can I take a guess what it was?
Oh, sure, but we'll be here all night because you'll never guess it.
Was it an avalanche?
What kind of mystic from another dimension are you?
Uh-huh. Well, it doesn't take... I mean, everything you said is, you know, kind of all signs pointed to it being an avalanche. It doesn't exactly take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Crack a phrase book much? Don't sound like you do. It's rocket silence.
What?
It's rocket silence.
Rocket...
Yeah, this isn't rocket silence. Have you ever heard that phrase?
No, I've never heard I don't even know what rocket silence would be.
Oh, well, the quieter the scientist makes his rocket, the smarter the scientist is.
Okay.
You never... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, okay, well, I...
Well, look, so anyway, there's a massive avalanche, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, the destruction.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. The Newbridge Ski Resort for the ultra rich.
Yeah.
Got swept away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it got swept into three smaller ski resorts, and they formed. This is so sad. They formed what in science is known as a heinous multi-resort snow tsunami. Yeah, there's only been three of them this century.
You mean the 21st century?
Yeah.
So that's actually a fair amount of them. It seems... So you're saying that the one ski resort...
Yeah, the big one.
The avalanche rolled down and moved it into...
Three smaller ski resorts.
Okay.
Newbridge Ski Resort for the less rich and two others.
Yeah, so this, I cannot believe this happened before.
Well, it did. And the reason you don't hear about it, it's because the media is in the pocket of Big Snow.
In the, what, Big Snow?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they pretty much run everything from November to March.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, massive destruction. Two of those resorts are still on fire.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Whew, so guess who's on the hook for 800 large?
Uh-huh. Wow. So you have to pay $800,000 for that damage?
I wish. No, $800
million. $800 million.
Yeah, I thought one large equaled a million.
Uh-huh.
No?
No, I thought it was 1,000.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, yeah. You have no idea how much those Blackhawks cost.
Uh-huh.
They have fully functioning plumbing in them, fully functioning toilets. They have theater seating. They have a theater in there.
In
quad stereo.
In the Black Hawk helicopters.
They do. It's like, it's nicer than my house. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, hey, speaking of aircraft.
Yeah.
Did you know that they're, what do they call them? Kamikazes? A lot of those kamikaze attacks that they had back in, like, World War II, those weren't actual kamikaze attacks.
They weren't.
No, they weren't. What happened was the pilots were so turned on by those paintings of naked women on the sides of American fighter planes.
Yeah.
That when those Japanese pilots saw those drawings and those paintings.
Yeah.
They went on these cockpit pant rummages and they lost control of their planes. Happened a lot.
I actually saw something about that on the History Channel.
That's where I saw it. Yes.
Yeah. And it was like the American planes would have like little logos painted on the side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would be like of a bomb dropping or what. But a lot of them had like these like cheesecake kind of ladies.
Yeah.
On the side, sexy ladies.
Yeah, and under it would say, eat these knockers.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah.
But that when...
Dine on this tush, Japs.
Okay, I didn't see that one either. But they would have those paintings on them, and they were very, like, extremely distracting to...
Yes, very bawdy.
To the enemy. And I think there was a thing where Hitler was working on, because Hitler had a fair amount of like Hitler's like the super sub that he was working on, and like the super battleship, and
yep.
But one of the ones was he had this enormous plane,
yep,
that had a portrait like
yep
on it of one of these like sexy ladies.
There was a whole episode for it. It was, I think it was called Hitler's Porno Plane, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That he thought it would have won the war.
Yes.
For that the Nazis would win the war if he got his, what they called, I don't know if he called it the porno plane.
Yeah.
But the
Allies, I think, called it that. But do you remember who painted that, though?
The painting?
Of the woman, yeah.
Who?
He did.
Hitler.
Yes.
I mean, I knew he was a painter.
Yeah.
So Hitler did the painting.
He did, yes, yeah. But you must have missed this part. Yeah, he only had this thing flown once because he was embarrassed by it. He just was never great at drawing feet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't paint the feet accurately?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it just didn't look right to him, and he was embarrassed by those feet.
Of the on the porno plane that he painted to what, distract the Allies?
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that plane, he pulled it down?
He did. That was his Spruce Goose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Hitler's Spruce Goose was a porno, I keep calling it that.
It was a porno plane.
Okay.
All right, we'll get, give it the technical name, D-Porno Plane.
Well, that's not the technical name.
Sure it is.
That's you trying to
that's
do...
straight up German.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
D-Porn, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, have you seen The Man in the High Castle?
Not yet.
Oh, I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. Although, you know, it's hard to not know that it's filmed in Canada.
Why is that?
It just looks like Canada.
Uh-huh. Like a little too clean?
Exactly. Yeah, you keep thinking that, like, they're going to pan over and, like, John Collins or Carl Newman are going to be in the shot.
Just playing, like, citizens?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or as themselves.
As themselves,
walk.
You never know. Yeah, like buskers.
Or, okay. You know? I thought you meant they could actually accidentally be walking through the shot.
Oh, yeah, that too. Or, you know, they could be working into a scene, you know, them just kind of sitting on a corner. Man, can you believe she didn't need me half as much as I needed her to?
That's one of his songs?
Geez, yes.
Which one is that?
I think it's called The Body Says No. They rarely play it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would worry about, I guess if I was filming something in Canada, I'd be worried that, you know, Todd Fancy would just float by in the background.
Can you imagine that? Those mirror shades and that hat? Like, what is this guy's deal?
Especially when you're trying to do a period piece.
Right, yes, yeah, exactly.
Suddenly, here comes a guy with a guitar case.
Yep.
And mirrored shades.
Yep.
Throwing
baseball
off.
Baseball jersey, one of the, like, jersey sleeve t-shirts thing.
Mm-hmm. That, good like, Lord. Would have been in, like, a Bad News Bears movie.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, my God. What were we talking about?
Oh, I guess we're talking about the $800 million
you
owe.
Yes, I owe that, yes. That's the reason I'm calling. Are you ready? You strapped in?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm strapped in.
I am officially announcing that the money from the Kickstarter to pay for the recording of my album, Grinding My Nads Off,
yeah,
that money is now going to go to pay for my disaster debt. And I need all of your listeners to pony up and frankly, chip in some real money, because this is crunch time.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so you want the people in the – you want the public and my listeners
– yes.
To pay for the enormous debt you brought on your you brought on yourself by just behaving so wild, like so stupidly and irresponsibly.
Oh, jeepers. Who put Ward Cleaver on the line? Could I have Tom back, please?
Uh-huh. Ward. Okay, Ward Cleaver. I'm
remember
sorry.
Him?
Yeah, I do, from Leave It to Beaver.
Remember that one episode?
Which one?
When he skinned Eddie Haskell's back.
Because he had played with the garden hose.
They only showed it once.
Yeah. Because it was just like, Eddie was like running the hose from the Cleaver's house.
He was a hose runner, Tom.
Yeah. He was trying to fill up a thermos.
Oh, he was trying to fill something up with something.
Uh-huh. Well, I think in this case, he was just trying to fill a thermos with hose water.
Well, if that's what you want to call it.
And Ward came, and that was like the final straw for him.
It was, and there was some backskinning afoot. It was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was what television was. You know, there's some things like that. It's like you ever hear people say they could never make that now.
It's true. Yep.
You ever hear like people say like, oh, that movie, they could never make that movie now.
That's true. Yeah.
But yep. I think sometimes people exaggerate with that, but I think this is definitely one of those things.
No, it's true. It's that, Tron.
Uh-huh. They could never make Tron now.
No. Okay. I mean, for the third time.
Oh, for the, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because no one wanted to see it anymore.
Oh, I loved it.
You loved Tron.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't do Tron Grinders.
Rats writing this. His pen's out of ink.
Okay.
Will you remember this for me and email me?
Tron Grinders?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Great. Uh-huh. Great. Great. Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, $800 million is an enormous hole to be in.
It is.
But yeah. I guess the only good thing you can take from this is that you guys are safe and sound, you know. And I'm sure the footage that Sea Dog shot is going to be incredible.
Oh, no. Sea Dog bought it on the Hill.
Oh, no.
I mean, I assume he did. You know, I mean, his ass ain't been heard from for days. And actually, I think they found his frozen elbow wrapped around a dead frozen ox.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was sick. Oh, way more gruesome than that Mother 13 expedition. Remember that?
Yeah, that was...
Good Lord.
That was truly terrible.
Yeah, yeah. What's even more terrible than that?
Yeah.
Is that that dummy Sea Dog didn't secure the camera and it got crushed under the copter?
Uh-huh.
Real Bush League maneuver.
Okay.
So embarrassing. So there's no visual document of me becoming the most damage-inflicting extreme sportsman of all time. It's really frustrating.
Uh-huh. Well, I can see how it would be frustrating that after causing $800 million worth of damage, that the part you're all twisted about isn't that almost $1 billion worth of damage or the death of your friend. It's that there's no footage of it.
I know.
That's really what bums you out, huh?
I know. It's terrible. I'm not into it at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. What can you do, right?
Yeah, Rad, it's a tricky world. I don't know what to tell you.
It is, yeah.
Hey, what's going on? What are you doing over there, Rad? Rad? Hey, Rad? Rad? Hey, Rad?
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Just blowing off some steam up here.
Mm-hmm. Up here? Up where?
Mount Kern. Yeah, it's great up here. No one else around, just me, 10 Quirkle Nugs, and a box of firecrackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what are Quirkle Nugs?
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even care what Quirkle. Just please tell me you're not lighting off firecrackers on a mountain in the winter.
Well, the answer to question one is Quirkle. Well, it's basically sweet indica that feels more like sativa. You know, more of a head high than a body high. Definitely not a finger grinding bud. This is full on sticky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the answer to question B?
Yeah.
Yes, they're firecrackers. This is still a free country for your information. Bernie Sanders hasn't been elected yet.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it's neither here nor there, but you're lighting off firecrackers. Aren't you afraid of another avalanche?
Look, son, no offense, but the day I start taking mountain advice from you is the day that I... Oh, no.
Oh, no. Rad?
Yes.
Let me guess what's going on there.
Don't make a sound. I think what happened is some wild mountain beavers must have caused a disturbance up there.
So it's wild mountain beavers. You don't think there's any way that the firecrackers you were lighting.
Oh boy, here it comes.
Rad?
It missed us.
Oh.
Oh, man. I need some more quirk to calm my nerves. Hang on. I've earned it, right? Oh. Whew. Oh, hey, man. You play music on your show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Maybe you can help me with this. I've been looking for this Bee Gees song for a while now. I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
It goes something like this.
Oh, girl, bitch, you hurt me so bad when you said you didn't want to bring another woman into our marriage. Remember that song?
That, no, I...
Oh, my God, no! Oh, it's a... Ah! Oh, no! Oh, my God! I'm being ripped apart by snow! Oh, I think that song's on Spirits Having Flown! Look it up! And email me that thing we're talking about!
Rad? Oh, God. Well, Rad McKinney... Something else, huh, Mike? I don't know. I think he's dead. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think he died. I think we just heard his death. Ah, the phone number, 201-332-3484. We're going to put this Coen Brothers list together. But... this might spill over into the half hour power a little bit, which we'll do tonight. The best show, post show. Unscreened calls. A few things I want to tell you all about. Sharpling and Worcester. We'll be playing live. Where? Where can you see? Where can you see us live? Well... my friends. Saturday, February 27th, Durham, North Carolina, at Motor Co. Tickets are on sale. Go to StereoLaughs.com, LAFFS.com/tour, to get your tickets for the Durham show, which is going to be so much fun. I tell you this, I believe it's probably the last time we are going to do the version of the show we've been doing for the last year. I think that'll probably be the last place we do it. So, if you haven't seen it, that is probably the last place you will see it. Always keeping it fresh. Saturday, February 27th, Durham, North Carolina. And also, the Sasquatch Festival, which runs May 27th to 30th. We'll be playing in there somewhere. One of the days. It's in Washington State. Sasquatch Festival. Go to SasquatchFestival.com for ticket info on that. StereoLaughs.com is also where you can buy all the Sharpling and Worcester merchandise. We've got posters from our West Coast Swing available now, signed by Sharpling and Worcester. They are up at StereoLaughs.com. We are selling the remaining stock. I will be shipping out mail orders over the next week. I was sick as a dog. That's why I'm a little behind. Your orders will go out this week. Thank you for being patient. StereoLaughs.com. Buy some stuff, show some love. All right. Who here wants to talk about Coen Brothers movies, Mike? One. Best show.
Hi, it's Blake.
Blake?
Yeah.
Hi, Blake.
From Oakland, California.
How are you, Blake?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Are you a fan of the Coen Brothers, Blake?
Sure.
Okay. Can I ask how old you are, Blake?
I'm 10 years old.
You're 10, okay. What's going on, Blake? You're in San Francisco?
Oakland.
Oakland.
California.
All right. What's going on, Blake? Let's not talk about the Coen Brothers. Tell me what you want to talk about.
I was going to ask you, do you think you'll ever be on Bob's Burgers?
Probably not. I think that ship has sailed. They have given, I guess, you know, Andy Kindler has to do that seventh voice on it. So, God forbid he not have seven characters on the show. It's like watching Kind Hearts and Coronets, Andy Kindler production of Kind Hearts and Coronets every week with him doing his range of characters there. So
yeah, that sounds pretty bush.
Thank you, Blake. I agree. I don't think we'll be on.
Yeah. I think you should be on.
Well, should be on, of course. Of course we should be on, but we won't because that's just how it goes, bro. Some people, there's the haves and there's the have-nots, Blake. Might be a good time for you to learn about this.
Yeah.
This is all I'm going to say. Life, you're a young lad, right?
Yes.
What do you want to be? What's one thing you'd like to be when you grow up, Blake?
I want to be a baseball player.
Okay. Who's your favorite baseball player?
Right now, probably Buster Posey.
Okay. And what look, you're right in Oakland. You tell me you don't like the Golden State Warriors? They're not your heroes?
Yeah, I like Curry. He's good.
Oh, he's good, huh? Oh, jeepers. I'm glad he passed the test of whether he's good or not.
Yeah.
No, you're seeing something. I'm going to tell you this, bro. What you're seeing them do right now? The Golden State Warriors, you're going to tell people your whole life that you were in the Bay Area when that was going down. You're going to brag about that forever.
Yeah.
They're making history. Who else?
The San Francisco Giants.
The San Francisco Giants, yes. You're not an A's fan?
I was born in San Francisco.
Okay. So you like the Giants more?
Yeah.
All right. So, but just look, life, it's got ups and it's got downs. All I'm going to tell you, bro, just enjoy yourself. Just have fun doing things. Do stuff you want to do. Okay?
Yeah.
But be a good guy. Don't just think of yourself. Just don't think of yourself, Blake. But also don't not think of yourself. Sometimes you got to think about yourself.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Is this a little too heavy for you?
No, it's good.
Just have fun. You're gonna have a great life. It's awesome. You're in the Bay Area. There's a lot of cool stuff there. You sound like a cool kid. You like the best show.
Yeah.
Right? What's your favorite part about the show?
Probably all the comedy.
You like all the comedy? What's your least favorite part, Mike? AP Mike? What's your least favorite part about the show, Blake? Mike?
Probably when someone takes too long.
When someone takes too long? Yeah, I know what that's like. You sure it's not Mike? Just say Mike. Blake, just say Mike. I'll PayPal you $2 if you say Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Okay. Have an adult or supervisor send me a PayPal address. I will literally email you $2. I will pay you. I am a man of my word. Okay?
Okay.
Say it one more time, and I'll up it to 3.
Mike.
There you go. Okay, buddy. Thanks for the call, Blake.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Jim at Shaft Design.
What's that?
Jim at Shaft Design.
No, don't say it over the air. Email it.
Okay.
All right. All right, bye. All right, let's look at this list here. I'm looking over at Twitter. There's some people talking about Coen Brothers movies here, and then I saw one guy, that guy Drennan. You know that guy, Mike? He said there's no way. He said Lou and Davis is one of the worst Coen Brothers movies. That's just straight up stupid talk. That ain't smart. You're not a smart guy in that regard, bro. Alright, let's look at this list here. Let's say Intolerable Cruelty's last, right? Then what's second worst, Mike? Burn After Reading's going to be low on it. I don't know if I'd put it there. I would maybe say, yeah, that was a pretty bleak back-to-back right there for those dudes. Lady Killers is 15. Well, what should be second worst then, Dudio? No, you're insane, the man who wasn't there. Tony Shalhoub in that movie? That's one of the best performances ever. Let's see. Then what's next? 14. What would go 14? Let's do Burn After Reading 14, right? Okay. Then what are we looking at here? Are we putting Blood Simple low just because it's like early? You put that high. It's pretty clean. You know what I might put lower is Raising Arizona. And that's not one of my favorites. Let's see here. Hudsucker, yeah. I'm going to put Hudsucker Proxy. I'm putting that 13. I know there's people who love it, but that's not my scene, man. Then what, True Grit? I like them all! True Grit, yeah. Okay, True Grit's 12. Then what are we looking at here? I'm telling you, I could put... maybe now Man Who Wasn't There has got to enter the picture. That goes 11. Then we're looking at... I might put Raising Arizona. I don't know. I like. I'm gonna put Raising Arizona 10, and Miller's Crossing. Where are we at on that, Mike? Maybe we put Oh Brother. Where that one for some reason I didn't like at first, and then warmed up to it later. Maybe we put Oh Brother, Where Art Thou 9? Yeah, that's 9. Barton Fink, 8. Right? No, let's... Yeah, but then Miller's Crossing. I'm putting Miller's Crossing 9. Sorry. Barton Fink, 8. Oh Brother, 7. Then Blood Simple, 6. Right? See, I got No Country for Old Men too high on this list. That's not one of my favorites. It's one of, yeah, no kidding, it's one of yours. It's a weirdo going around with a cow puncher popping people's brains out. And he gets away. This is what I'm doing right here. We got O'Brien. I'm going to move Oh Brother to 6 and No Country Old 7. That leaves 1, 2. Wait, did I 1, 2? Where are we at here? I messed something up. Oh, Tom. I should have 5 left, but I have 4 left because I gave something numbered something twice. I think Blood Simple got numbered. Blood Simple's 5. So here's the list so far. Worst to best. Intolerable Cruelty, Lady Killers, Burn After Reading, Hudsucker Proxy, True Grit, number 11, Man Who Wasn't There. Still feel like that's too low. Getting influenced by the peanut gallery out there. Gotta have some backbone for once in my life. Switch. Raising Arizona is going 11. Man Who Wasn't There is going 10. Raising Arizona 11. Man Who Wasn't There 10. Miller's Crossing 9. Barton Fink 8. No Country for Old Men 7. Oh Brother 6. Blood Simple 5. Yeah. They're wrong. There's no getting this right, guys. I could come up with a different list a week from now. So we got the four. Inside Llewyn Davis is four. Fargo's three. Then it's either Serious Man is two, Big Lebowski one. There you go. How about that, Mike? Thank you, Mike. It's my list. I appreciate it. It's true. Can you bring yours in? Mike's got his own list. Here's Mike's list. Man who wasn't there at the bottom.
The rest is on the back.
Oh, okay. So this is... The bottom is Mike goes worst. Intolerable Cruelty, Burn After Reading, Lady Killers, Hudsucker Proxy, Serious Man. He's seen it once, though. You need to see it another time, Mike. Will you watch it this week? Man Who Wasn't There, Oh Brother, Barton Fink, Miller's Crossing, True... Then he has Inside Llewyn Davis and True Grit, Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, No Country, Big Lebowski, Fargo. Yeah, look, there's no wrong version of it unless you start putting Intolerable Cruelty at the top. That's the only wrong version of it. And look, I'll say this. Big Lebowski has the dumbest fans now, but you can't let that influence it. I watched it a few months ago, and it's just the best. It still is. It's still so great. And you can't let the dum-dums make you doubt how great that is. Just like with Led Zeppelin and these other things, just because the Venn diagram overlaps, it's still that's top-notch stuff, man. Best show.
Hey, what's up?
You tell me, bro. You tell me.
The ceiling, I guess. Whatever else.
What's that now?
The ceiling.
You know what else is up?
Literal about it.
You want to know what else is up?
Your
time on the show. Best show. You're up, Chief. What up? What's going on? Nope, you're not. Best show.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Henry from California.
Henry from California. What's up?
Well, I was just calling, actually, because I'm a big fan of the show, but my dad is a huge fan, and he was a little too embarrassed to call, so I figured I would call you up.
Are you with him? Are you with him?
Unfortunately, I was with him up until 5 minutes ago, and he left.
Okay. And what did he just say?
I will tell you what he wanted to tell you.
All right.
He knows you've got a thing for the Muppets.
Yeah.
And he wanted to tell you about his favorite Muppet.
Okay.
Jeff Lynne from the Electric Light Orchestra is, according to him, his favorite Muppet.
Your dad was not going to call and say that.
He was, I swear. Well, he wasn't going to call, which is why I called for him.
Okay. No, your dad was right in terms of if he said that, he decided not to call with it. You need to trust the wisdom of your father, bro.
He wanted to call, I swear.
Yeah, but then something inside him. Something, you know what probably told him to not do it?
What told him not to do it?
I don't know, this moment. Best show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, can you turn your radio up, please? By all get the phone right next to those computer speakers so I can hear what I just said again.
Sorry.
What, is everybody on the roof of the parking garage outside the arc light tonight? What's up, Chief?
Not much.
Goodbye, then. Best show.
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. What can I do for you?
I just wanted to call. I wanted to contribute to the offensive songs.
Yeah, like, what do you got
going on?
What do you think's an offensive song?
Well, you know, I couldn't really pick one. There's this whole band.
Keep it clean, though. Keep it clean.
Yes, I will. All right. But anyway, they go, I can't really say their name in the air, but all I'm going to say is the first word, and the name is anal.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. I could have guessed. I knew when you, I swear, I promise you, I am not exaggerating. When you said to me, what's up, bro, I knew you were going to mention a band with the initials AC. I just knew it. I could feel coming. It's coming off you like an aura.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Isn't it great that that's your aura?
Well, I guess.
Well, we all got to have something in this life. We all got to have something.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, dude, I said you said the A and I said the C.
Well, dude, I didn't know you would know about that band.
Well, what do you think? What do you think I'm doing here with music, bro? What do you think I'm doing? You think I'm a I'm a ham and egger? You think I'm just some piker? What am I playing? What am I playing here? Jason Mraz?
No, but I've
forgotten more about AC than you'll ever know. Get off my phone. Best show.
Tom, how's it going?
It's going all right. What can I do for you?
Don't you want to know who it is?
You know what? No.
I know.
Best show. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, it's Caroline in Brooklyn, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Caroline?
I'm fine. I'm sorry my phone's crummy.
No, that's all right. It's like an oasis after that run right there. It was like the snow mutants came out. Like they've been shoveling, and they just finally went back in and decided to call the best show.
I have an observation about that just occurred to me.
What do you got?
So earlier, before you finalized the definitive Coen Brothers ranking,
yeah,
which I also agree with, fine job.
Like what would you change on it though, Carolyn, for your personal?
I should say I was surprised at Big Lebowski at number one, even though it's a strong choice. But I would put Hudsucker Proxy maybe a little higher because I think that movie's really funny.
Yeah, I just, you know, for some reason, that was never my favorite movie. I might even put it lower on the list, sorry. it was never
no,
my
do
scene.
You.
It was never, exactly, thank you.
Whatever.
Do you like A Serious Man?
I only saw it the one time, but the one time I saw it, it was very striking.
You need to see it again. I think it could be their best movie.
Yeah, you're probably right. I felt like it was a little over my head, but
if you watch it again, it won't be over your head. You can get it. You get it.
Yeah.
You get
it. A lot of tough questions in that movie.
Yeah. So what's going on tonight, Carolyn?
So something I noticed is I tried to dial in earlier to talk about this very Coen Brothers topic, and I couldn't get through. And then as soon as you stopped talking about it, all these like gray paint dudes just sort of, it's like you said, they kind of crawled back into their shoebox and, you know, that was it. Something I noticed.
That wasn't even gray paint. Those guys, look, I'm glad they were interesting. I'll take them being interesting over just straight up snoozes.
Yeah.
The straight up snoozes are the ones, because that's actually like not a good show then when they call. But at least these guys were giving me something to do with, but that was just, it just wasn't making a whole lot of sense. One guy, my dad would have said that Jeff Lynne was his favorite Muppet, but he didn't call. And then another guy's doubting, you can't believe I heard of a band with the initials AC. And I don't know what's going on here.
I have a tough question for you, but you may have already answered it.
Let's hear it.
Which is worse, to be like punishingly weird just for weird's sake, or to just have nothing going on at all? Like, if you were cursed by the devil to choose one of the two, what would you pick?
I would pick. I'd rather have nothing going on than be punishingly weird.
Even though punishingly weird is something over nothing.
But you can't have something without nothing. There can be no pun. Look, we're talking about the same coin, Carolyn. One side is just some blob of gray paint putting everyone to sleep. And the other side is the person who is not nearly as interesting as they think they are. And, their quirks are not quirks, but they think that they're quirks. Is that what you're talking about?
Totally. It's the calculating nature of it. I guess it's better to be so offensive that you're invisible, or so inoffensive that you're invisible, than to be, needlessly annoying.
I think so. Thank God we're perfect, though, right?
Says you.
Well, thank you. I'm gonna move along here. I have 10 minutes left in the show.
All right. Have a great time.
I am. Thank you for the call. Bye. Did you see this? Look, we'll keep talking about the most offensive song ever. That's gonna take up a lot of time. These big questions, we can't answer them all in one show. I realize that now. It was a fool's errand to think this could be done in one show. It was foolhardy at best. But we'll get to it. Let's just say I got it queued up, what I think the most offensive song is. Should I play a little bit of it, Mike? Let's take a listen to what I think the most offensive song in history is.
Well, south side of Chicago.
This song is basically, it's one of the bad Leroy Brown from the south side of Chicago. And he drives like
his fancy clothes, and he likes to wear his diamond rings.
He drives, what does he drive, Mike? A Continental? It's like, what is that supposed to be? Other than a portrait of hate and fear. Fear-mongering. Of a person of color. Bad Leroy Brown. Like, come on, Jim Croce. I expected so much more of you. You wrote one of the greatest songs ever, I Got a Name. Right, Mike? You know that song? I do that song at karaoke. Yeah, pretty much I got that one locked down. Nobody's coming anywhere near that one. Oh, good. Here comes the, thank you. Middle of the road, Dougald, is a smart guy, and he said it's M.O.R. race baiting. Yes, that's what it is. It's like adult contemporary, hate speech. It's really, really, come on, Croce. This is what made people switch to Chapin. This is what made people Not into it, man. That stand. Now, everybody for the next week, listen to that. And look, we've already talked about Gary Puckett and the union gap. How that song, "Young Girl, Get Out of My Mind, Get Out of My Mind." So it's his, he's admitting right off the top, it's his problem. "My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl." He's telling her to run. "You're much too young, girl." That one's creepy. That one's skin crawling. But Bad, Bad Leroy Brown is like a portrait of hate. Creating like a monster to be feared on the south side of Chicago. He's badder than old King Kong. Okay. Not too loaded. Croce, you bum. You blew it, Croce. You had me with some of these songs. Look. Look at these songs. I'll take some of these songs on this Jim Croce Greatest Hits. "You Don't Mess Around with Jim." I like that one. "Operator," that's a good song. "I Got a Name," that's the best song. "Time in a Bottle," yeah, I don't know. "I'll Have to Say I Love You" in a song, that's a nice song. He's got some good songs, but he had his one portrait of hate. Best show.
Hey, this is Chris in St. Pete.
Chris in St. Pete. Now, when you say St. Pete, are you talking about where now?
I'm in Florida.
In Florida. St. Petersburg, Florida?
St. Petersburg, that's it.
And what's the deal down there?
Well, I called in to share an offensive song.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, well, it got kind of revealed to me through my friend singing at karaoke, which yeah. I think happens often, like you don't really know the words of things until they're, you know, on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sang Crash by Dave Matthews Band.
Mm-hmm.
And that song's it's about a peeper.
It is?
Yeah.
Let me check the
words.
The
song ends with Dave Matthews saying, basically, "I'm staring at you through a window, and I like the way it looks."
All right,
and
hold on.
Super, super creepy.
Okay, bro. Well, what's your name again?
Chris.
Chris. I just want to check this out. Hold on. This is the final parts of that song. "Oh, and you come crash into me, baby. And I come into you." Oh, okay. "Hike up your skirt a little more and show the world to me. Hike up your skirt a little more and show your," okay, that's your world to me. "In a boy's dream." Now the final thing. "Oh, I watch you there through the window."
Yes.
"And I stare at you. You wear nothing, but you wear it so well. Tied up and twisted the way I like to be. This, but you hit the nail on the head with this one. You put one right in that. We're looking at a serious man, Big Lebowski situation here with Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews Band. And, but the thing with this song is like Bad, Bad Leroy Brown is like jaunty racism, right? This
right.
Dave Matthews song is supposed to be like, that's the one who's like, "Oh, come crash into me." Isn't that how that one goes?
Yeah. And, but it's so ubiquitous. It was everywhere like yeah. 15 years ago and so tame it seemed. But
it's the first one that comes up on YouTube. When you type in Dave Matthews,
like
it's
the hit.
Yeah.
But if you, I did like, so that those lyrics really bothered me, and I did a little more digging, and he's got like, allegedly, interviews where he's like, yeah, you know, it's better than an arrest. It's about peeping. He's into it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews is a straight up peeper, is what you're saying.
King peeper.
He's a king. So he's like, would he like lead his audience? Would they like leave like the PNC Arts Center and just start peeping? Oh, come peep. And that singing style, where'd that come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you got your lungs. Like, it's like, sounds like he's auditioning for The Revenant 2, right? Did you see The Revenant?
I have not. I felt like it would be too long for what it was for me.
Oh, it is.
So I, but, yeah, to sit in the theater, I couldn't.
Thanks, bro.
I couldn't do it.
Great call. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
Best show.
Hey, I just wanted to point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what?
I just wanted to point out that the first two syllables are Jim Crow, of Jim Croce.
Wow. That is pretty nuts.
Yeah. And I'd also like to say, as far as offensive music goes, I always found, as a Jewish guy, I thought Bob Dylan putting on like weird folk music whiteface for his folk music was a little offensive. I wish he would stuck to his roots and, you know.
Okay. Like you so that music is, you don't think that a Jewish person has access to that music?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm. All right, I gotta go. Thank you.
Okay, I gotta go. Thank you. That's a good way to end it. I like that guy's style. He got out. He got out, Mike. We could all learn a little something from that guy. He was coming to crash into the land of bad calls. So, basically, let's say that the best show is going to end now. Next week, we'll talk more about the worst songs. And we can also talk more about the big questions you might have. That can be an ongoing thing, because the answers just don't come that quickly. The answers just don't come that quickly. We'll talk more about that as the days go on. And remember, stereolaughs.com/tour for all the tour information. Durham show, the end of February at Motorco. Don't miss it. Probably the last time we're doing that live show that we've been doing. Sasquatch. You get posters. We have the West Coast posters from the summer designed by Jeff T. Owens, who you can't go wrong. Go over to My Metal Hand and look at his stuff. Jeff's the artist who did all the stuff for the Best Show website. What a great guy. And what a great artist. I got Jeff Owens to come crashing to me. Who wanted that? How did that become so huge? You gotta be lit, man, to Dave Matthews is like baseball and Jimmy Buffett. You gotta be drunk to be into it. Like, to actually sit there and listen to it? You gotta be drunk. There's no way you can hear that stuff straight. Right? You got to be in the PNC Arts Center parking lot, bombed out of your gourd, throwing up, and wondering whether you're even going to go into the show because you're so drunk. All right. Best show will be back next week. Also, best show sticker. Oh! How could I ever forget? This week. Monday, February 8th. Everybody in New York City, you get your pens out. You write this down. Monday, February 8th at 9:30 p.m. at the UCB Theater, Chelsea. Monaco at UCB Maud Night. Featuring, that's right, my boy, Dudio, is going to be bringing it that night. Right? Yeah. What is this show? A new sketch show, and you're performing in it. You can meet Jason at it, and don't bother him during the show, of course. Don't ask, like, information about mic placement or just levels and things. Like he'll come out as a character, and then you're saying, like, hey, I do a podcast, and I'm just having some problems with stuff kind of being kind of overloaded, like having a hard time with the levels spiking. Any help you can give me with that, Dudio? And he'll be like, I'm a mailman right now. Or whatever character he's going to be. And also, Jason's a funny guy. You should go see him. Do it. All right, everybody. Best show will be back next week. And we're going to do the half hour power in a couple minutes. So call up the Best Show post show. 30 minutes of unscreened calls coming up next. Going to end the show on a special note with a song by my bro, Kurt Vile. He wrote a song called Get Ready For It, Mike. It was going to drive you up the wall because it, for once, something makes me look good. It's called Red Apples for Tom Sharpling. That's right. He wrote a song named after me. Did you know that?
No.
Red Apples for Tom Sharpling. It's on a great series that Three Lobed Records put out, which I'm going to tell you about right now. It's these parallelogram releases where they're two-sided LPs. It's Kurt on one side and Steve Gunn on the other side. It's split albums. There's also Yola Tango has one with Bardo Pond and who else? Six Organs of Admittance and William Tyler have one. There's five of them, I think, all together. Three Lobed Records is a great label, and we're going to check something out by them, by Kurt Vile right now, and say goodnight and get ready for the half hour power. See you next week.